Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Hello, hello. Welcome to Shining Bright. So today we are going to be talking about growing, creating, and connecting. And this is the theme of the week for us because oftentimes I attach our theme to our TV show, Farm Her, which airs on RFD TV. And the episode this week, I'm going to tell you more about that at the end of this radio show podcast. And it's all about these women who have connected with each other in their area and are really growing through that and creating community all around themselves. And so on our radio show this week, we're going to be talking to a few women who are doing just that. We're going to be talking to Jill Winger in just a little bit, who has created an online brand around her small homestead farm called the Prairie Homestead. And she's created a massive audience, and she has learned how to be a homesteader. You know, they've jumped in 11 years ago and figured it out and shared their story with the world. And so she's going to talk to us a little bit about how she shares her story with the world, some of the things she's learned. But she really has grown in her role. She was not a media person to start with, and so has had to adjust and learn and adapt and do that in a rural environment where, you know, high-speed internet is not always available, or actually not always, almost never available. And so it's going to be an interesting discussion. And then we're going to talk to Lauren Rudersdorf. And Lauren is, I don't know if she's self-proclaimed or proclaimed by her group of women that she connects with, the Soil Sisters. They call her the Millennial Farm Her of their group. And Lauren is going to talk to us about her decision, along with her husband, to start their own farm as young people right out of college, and to do it really bare bones and to grow it kind of step by step, inch by inch, foot by foot, and how they're getting there. So we're going to be covering all those topics on growing. They are creative women at the heart of who they are. You know, it's not just their farm that they're running forward with. They're creating a brand around that farm. They're creating the image that people see with that farm. And that goes so far in helping people connect with what you do. And I think that's the other piece, is that connecting piece. And you will hear from them. They've got so many things going on all of the time, things coming at them, and deciding how they're going to move forward. And that is always a new and unique thing. So on that note, the same thing happens to us here at Farm Her. Quite honestly, I opened up our customer service software this morning, and there was 150-ish messages that came in over the last few days. And I was like, oh my gosh. And we sort through these and we figure out which ones we can run after, which ones we can't, which ones, you know, are something that's doable, something that's not, for really a very small team behind the scenes here trying to create a very big brand out in the world. And one of the things I just wrote about this in my successful farming article in the month of February, and it is talking about how we choose what we run after. And I was reminded last fall at one of our grow events for young women in Nebraska by a speaker that we had there on our panel of what we all need to kind of bring ourselves back to when we have these big decisions and we're figuring out where we're going to go and how we're going to run after it, is knowing your why. You know, there's so many things in this world that just start to feel like twisty and turny, and I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing or if this is the right thing, and I'm running after it and, you know, working night and day on something. Knowing your why can really, I think, bring a center back to every decision that you make. And in my article, if you read it on agriculture.com or if you read it in the print magazine, you can see that I talked about my why in a few different places as I set goals for myself going into this year. I mean, I could have 400 goals, I swear, all the time. And then I feel even more confused about what it is I'm trying to do. And I talk in there about, you know, being more present. That's always something I want to focus on, because I feel like when I come home at night, it is one of the hardest things to shut off my brain and stop what I'm doing and actually pay attention to my kids. And they need it. They're little kids at this point. They need it, and I need it. but being more present, serving the bigger picture, growing our, you know, jumping over to the business side, growing our social media accounts, launching a new brand, whatever that is. When I think about all of it, I got to go back to what is my why, you know, and that's because Alinda Emanuel, who is a part of the AgriSafe Network and was on a panel, to cut through the clutter and set those goals and achieve those goals, knowing your why. And the more I think about those words, they're just so very much spot on. My personal why is my family. My business why is what potential good can it bring to the rest of the world? And that's when I know if I should be running after it or not. So just a little bit about my why. Again, you can read that article every month in Successful Farming. You can read it on agriculture.com. We share them on our blog too. So stick with me. We're going to be talking about growing, creating, and connecting with two women who are out there doing just that here on Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are kicking off an episode about growing, creating, and connecting. And here on the line, we are going to be speaking with Jill Winger. Jill, hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm so excited.
Yes, yes. So you are calling in from Wyoming?
I am. Southeast Wyoming, yes.
Is it cold there right now?
It's not too bad right now, but they're calling for like the blizzard of the century on Wednesday. So we're battening down the hatches and getting ready.
Jeez, I feel like we need to be done with the blizzard of the century for this year.
No, it's been a year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, awesome. I am so excited to have you on here. You are, I guess you're an author. You're a internet. You have an internet presence, you have a brand. Can you first start by telling us a little bit about your brand and then take us back and tell us how you got started in this?
Yeah, so my space online is called The Prairie Homestead. And really my mission is to help people who just feel kind of uninspired by modern conventional life. And I want to help them their roots, master old-fashioned skills, grow their own food, and all that good stuff.
Okay, so how did you learn this? Did you grow up on a farm? Are you from Montana? Like, let's take this back a little ways.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy because I was a city kid and I grew up in a neighborhood in town, and my parents, we didn't have land or animals. But ever since I was a tiny girl, like 3 years old, I wanted the farm and I wanted the acreage. And so, and as soon as I turned 18. They moved to Wyoming, and a couple years later, I met my husband. We bought our first property, which was an old rundown farmhouse, and it kind of just created this desire to see what we could do with it, and that's where that homesteading mindset was born.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I mean, so how many years ago was that you moved there?
So we have been on our homestead property for 11 years this year.
Oh my goodness. So I can only imagine what you have learned in those 11 years. Take us back to that first year. I mean, you know, you had this love for the land and you had this desire to be on a farm and connect with the land in that way and learn and I guess reconnect with yourself. Can you tell us what that first year was like?
Yeah. So it was quite the learning experience. And we had lots of failures and lots of mistakes as we kind of just bumbled our way into this lifestyle. Because my husband and I didn't have any, background in that. But I feel for us, like, the thrill and the adrenaline that came with, like, into this lifestyle wholeheartedly really kind of helped balance out all of the mistakes we made. So it was a good year still. Like, I still have very fond memories of those first few years in this lifestyle.
What was the first thing that you did when you moved there? What was your first big project?
Super glamorous. So we built a compost pile. And that kind of, believe it or not, jump-started this whole thing. We had horses. And we were also super broke because we just bought this property. And I needed a way to deal with the manure because it's a thing. And we couldn't buy a tractor. And I started reading books. And composting seemed like a cheap, easy alternative. So the compost pile kind of started this whole crazy adventure.
And so
when did you start documenting this online? Was it a concerted effort of like, I'm going to create this brand online, or did you just want to show people your life?
Yeah, it was very much accidental at the beginning. I was doing the things and learning all these skills, and I kind of realized that people around me were not really interested in me talking about it. Like friends and family, they were kind of like, Jill, stop talking about goats. So I took it to the internet and I thought, well, I'll just document it on this journal online. So it was very much kind of almost like a diary at the beginning. And then not too long into it, I realized there's other people wanting to do this. And I thought, well, what if our journey could benefit more than just us and really inspire others? And that's kind of when I got serious with blogging and I really started to take it to the next level.
So you started with a blog. That was the first step. Was there photos involved? Was there videos, or was it just straight up, I'm going to write about it and share a little bit here?
Yes. So the blog was the first step and it was mostly just writing about our life. I did have some pretty old school point and shoot photos I'd slap up there that were nothing to write home about, but you know, that was kind of the thing you did back then, and it worked, and people read it, and it started creating that community that I wanted, so it was good.
Yeah, and then, so you had the blog. What were your social media platforms when you first started?
We hit Facebook really hard at the beginning, because Facebook was kind of a different world back then.
Yep.
And of course, things have changed a lot now, but definitely Facebook and Pinterest were where we started.
And did you have a background in any sort of media, or was this just like, I'm here, I'm doing this, I'm just going to like put it out there?
No, it was definitely grassroots. I'm just going to figure this out. You know, the biggest catalyst, I think, was our homestead is about 35, 40 miles from town. And so I couldn't get to town a lot. I had little kids, had babies. And so my desire to learn social media was really driven by my desire to get human interaction because they were so isolated. Yeah. So that helps speed up the process.
Yeah, for sure. Is internet an issue where you are?
It definitely is. Yeah, especially as our platform has grown and we're adding things like video and streaming. There are days I drive to town to upload something because the internet just doesn't want to cooperate.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is your workaround for that? Because I hear that a lot, that, you know, this is something that could be a difficulty for people in starting maybe a business of any sort, but especially like a media business.
Yeah, it's definitely something to consider. We've shopped around a lot with different companies. Sometimes we pay more than we really should have to just because we need data and we live far away. So it's a challenge to be sure, but I think there are workarounds unless you live in a super remote location.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started a blog, you started social media pages, you were on Facebook. Walk us through the next few years of kind of what you learned and how you grew that brand.
Yeah, it's been a process, which I think is the journey we've been on, both, you know, personally, and then the journey the brand and the blog has been on has been really rewarding. A lot of work, but really fun to see it change. And so I think the biggest thing that has transformed over the years is just figuring out who I'm serving and how I'm going to serve them. Because a lot of times when you start a blog, it's just all about you and what you're doing in your life.
Right.
And that has gradually shifted into how can I help other folks in the same boat or who want to be in our same boat really maximize what they have. And so it's been a definite process. And anyone who's followed me from the beginning can see that transformation. But I definitely enjoy where we are now and our mission and our goals. The clarity is even more fun than at the beginning. So it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that. So we're going to come back in the next segment and we're going to talk about where your brand is now, where your farm is now. I'd love to talk about some of the biggest lessons that you've learned and see where you're going. So stick with us, everyone. We'll be back with Jill Winger of the Prairie Homestead here on Shining Bright in just a few minutes. And on that note, I want to remind all of you about all of the amazing Farm Her events we have coming up, ways for women to connect in so many different ways. We have Grow events right around the corner in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri for young women who are interested or involved in agriculture. If you think that there might be a future for you in agriculture, these events are for you and they are free. Thank you to our sponsors and partners on those events. So you can find those at our website, farmher.com. And also, I Am Farm Her, our third annual event for women of all ages, just opened up tickets. Check it out, farmher.com under the events tab. We'd love to see you there. We'll be right back on Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are still talking with Jill Winger. She is in Wyoming preparing for the storm of the century, which I'll cross my fingers that it isn't the storm of the century for you, Jill. You are the Prairie Homestead for anybody that might have just tuned in. And this has been a labor of love and a learning process over the last 11 years, as you were telling us in the last segment. So what would you say the biggest lesson you've learned about yourself, whether that's on the farm, whether that's through the business and the brand that you've created, what's the biggest lesson you've learned in this role?
Oh man, I think I've learned that resilience, whether that's in homesteading or farming or building a business, is really one of the most important traits we can develop in ourselves. And it trumps talent, and it trumps natural ability. And if you just can develop that grit to get knocked down and come back up and keep trying, it's everything. It can take you a lot of places.
I love that. It is so true, right? Resilience is something that we all should work on. But the hard thing about working on it is you got to go through the bumps to to be resilient.
Yes.
On that note, can you tell us what does a day in your life look like?
So it's kind of a weird reality we've created for ourselves. I love it, but some days I shake my head because, you know, we're all about old fashioned and we have a milk cow and we have a big garden in the summer and we homeschool and we're far from town. And so on one hand, we're very simple, old fashioned, back to basics. I also love business. So interspersed with milking the cow and schooling the children, it's doing calls and working with sponsors and creating content and talking to people all over the globe about homesteading and cooking. And it's kind of crazy sometimes, but I love it.
So on the business side, can you explain to us kind of what your business has evolved into today? And then I know you've got a cookbook coming out. I want to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, it started as a blog, which is a really common story. And that was just to build a platform of people who are like-minded. And then as that platform grew and I started to figure out what people needed and what they were looking for, you know, we're able to provide them with services or products, whether that's in the form of a tangible product like essential oils. We have a big essential oil side of our business, or it's something like a cookbook, or we also have a cooking class that we're working on. So that's where that business side of it comes in, beyond just playing on Facebook or trying to get a bunch of people to follow you on Pinterest. It's kind of taking it to the next level and asking people, hey, if you want to work with me, here's how. So that's been really what we've been focused on the last, I'd say, 2 years, is really getting now with products set up and figuring out how to best meet people's needs through what we're creating.
Yeah. And how did the cookbook come to fruition?
You know, I knew I always wanted to do a book, but I didn't really have in my mind set time. And so a friend had done a book and he offered to make some introductions for me with agents and such. And it kind of started this ball rolling. It's been about a 2-year process. I didn't realize traditional publishing took so long. And you have to go through lots of iterations and proposals and pitches, and then you do lots of edits. So it's been about 2 years in the making, but it launches, hits shelves April 2nd. So it's kind of like getting really exciting. And here we go, the big reveal.
Yeah. So where will people be able to get their hands on a copy of it?
So you can get it anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore. Yeah, just should be there.
That's absolutely awesome. Congratulations. That's huge spread. I love it.
Yes, thank you.
So what's your favorite recipe in it, if you had to pick one?
Oh, man. There's a lot. And so it's called the Prairie Homestead Cookbook, and it's really just simple American comfort food, but from scratch. Because a lot of times, you know, there's things, you know, pick mixes or cans and boxes, and so we're really just trying to help folks learn how to go from scratch. I think my favorite out of the whole book would have to be the crusty artisan bread that we have in there. And it's a basic recipe. It's like 4 ingredients, but just the way you cook it in a Dutch oven, it's like better than any bakery loaf you've ever had. It's amazing.
That sounds amazing. I wish I could have some right now to eat. One question I have is, your cookbook driven towards homesteaders, or is it driven towards anybody who might just want that kind of simple from scratch cooking?
We've really made it accessible to everyone, because I know not everybody wants to to have, or, you know, or can have a homestead with a milk cow and a garden.
Right.
So we talk about, you know, I have a section on how to grow your own ingredients and how to do those things if you want. But if not, I also have a lot of tips on how to source good ingredients, farm grown ingredients in your area. Even if you live in an apartment, you can get a lot of value out of the recipes.
Yeah, I wonder that a lot. I mean, I've been to farms and interviewed people where, you know, we've made great, like fresh cheese, for example, but they have goats or a cow to have that fresh milk. Mm. And I don't personally have that, you know, I mean, in our world, we don't live on a farm. And so I love that ability to kind of connect with it through the food aspect, but you don't actually have to have that cow out there to milk. That's a good point.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, we talked about what the hardest part or maybe what you've learned the most about yourself. Do you have any stories that you want to share? Something that's kind of, you know, telltale of life as a homesteader?
Well, I have lots of failure stories, which are always really popular on the blog.
Yeah.
People want to know when you just mess something up royally.
Yep.
So I think my most famous failure story, which has gotten lots of traction, is the year I completely poisoned my garden.
Oh no.
Which people just can't believe because they're like, you're the homestead girl. And I'm like, yes, but we still do not great things. And I had been doing this mulch method with lots of deep mulch in the garden. And it was amazing. And the soil was happy and it was really good. And then unbeknownst to me, I one year had picked up some hay to use that had been sprayed with an herbicide, a really potent herbicide. And I just happily laid that on the garden and had no clue. And then the next year, I noticed the tomatoes looked weird and nothing had vegetables or fruit coming on it. And I started to research and realize that we had made a huge mistake. And so kind of that resilience thing I mentioned earlier, like I was so devastated. And then I'm like, we have to figure out how to turn this around. And so it was a lot of work, but we ended up going into raised beds because of that disaster. And that actually ended up being a really, really good fit for us. So it's kind of a lemons turning into lemonade sort of dynamic.
I mean, I would probably do things like that all of the time, but you know, it is true to resiliency that you get up and you keep going. And real quick, we're getting close to the end of time here. I notice you keep saying we. Is this like you, yourself, and I that runs after this, or do you have a team or do you have a partner in it?
Yes, my husband Christian is my partner in crime. So I come up with the crazy ideas and he builds them for me. So if you ever look at pictures on the blog or on our social media and you see something cool that's been built, that's his doing.
I love it. I love it. We always have to have a partner in crime. Mine's mm-hmm. sitting right here over here in the studio too, because you know, you can put all the great stuff out there, but running after it from the backside, I know, isn't always quite as easy or doable as one person. I always say that about a farm too, right? Like it doesn't happen
Absolutely.
On its own. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Well, Jill, thank you so much. If people want to connect with you online, how should they find you?
You can go to theprairiehomestead.com. And that's kind of our central hub. Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, and I'd love to connect with your audience. So come say hi.
I love it. And when does that new book come out?
April 2nd, and pre-orders are happening now, so you can grab a copy either now or later.
Cool. Well, just in time for those Easter recipes. Jill, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fun day here on Shining Bright. Everybody, don't forget to head over to farmher.com, click on our events tab, and find out where we're going to be. We'd love to connect with you in one of our in-person events that we've got all around the country. We'll be back. Welcome back to Shining Bright here on this lovely spring day. We have been talking to women who are growing, creating, and connecting, which is so many of the women I meet with Farm Her. And episode that we've got of the TV show, a two-part episode, which is actually the first time we've ever had this, but there's just so much to show in southern Wisconsin that we made it into a two-part episode about the Soil Sisters, which is a network of women. And one of those women, the first one that we actually met when we were there in Wisconsin, is Lauren Rudersdorf. Lauren, welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Yes, yes. So I'm dreaming back to the very warm day in August that we were at your farm.
Me too.
The pictures I have of you, you're definitely wearing a tank top and no shoes. And that sounds lovely to be able to have weather like that right now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A little different than what we've got.
Yeah. So, Lauren, let's take it back a little bit. I'd love to hear about your connection to agriculture. Did you grow up around it and kind of what led you to it?
Yes, I actually did grow up on a farm in southern Wisconsin. It's actually the farm where I lease land today to grow my vegetables. I grew up on a 160-acre kind of conventional grain, soybean, corn farm that also raised some steers and some pigs.
So can you talk to us a little bit about the growth of your farm over these last few years from that year you started it to where you're at today with sizing and the amount of customers you serve and kind of some of the changes that you've gone through?
Yeah, absolutely. So our strategy for those first 5 years was pretty low risk, pretty cautious. We're both pretty cautious people. We don't really like to take on debt. We don't really like to invest heavily. And I think that we're not really risky people anyway, but I think that also had to do with the fact that we were so young and so just new to this whole idea of, you know, farming and starting a CSA farm. So we really didn't take on any debt those first 5 years, which meant every year we could only invest essentially as big as the CSA would grow. So every year, the biggest leap, there's been a few big leaps, but from year one to year two, we went from 8 members to 36 members. And then last year was our 6th season, and we finally made the leap into some investments because we were starting to see how limited we were with this kind of bare bone structure we were building. We were really proud of it. We were really lean. We were able to pay ourselves from that second year of production minimally. But yeah, by year 6, we really said, okay, we need to double down. We're growing pretty big, and it's hard to do this on these tiny little hand tools. So we bought a tractor last year through Kubota. They have a really awesome financing program. And then we got a family loan to put in a pack shed and some other kind of small infrastructure so that we could just expand the business, really grow into the business a little bit more.
Yeah, I remember seeing the shed. It was mostly built, I think, when we were there last August for filming.
Yeah.
And that looked like a very exciting addition. And
really exciting.
You guys, are you still at the same piece of land that you started at? Or I know you've expanded your acres some.
Yes. Yeah, we are at the same land that we started from. We're on a hillside, Raleigh's Hillside Farm, and we started kind of at like almost the base of the hill because that was the land that to my parents was the least desirable. And if we tried it for 2 years and hated it and got out of it, we wouldn't have messed anything up for them too bad. But then as we started to get more serious and scale our operation, we kind of just kept moving up the hill. So we started with this little triangle piece that was about 2 acres, and then a couple years later we added a 2-acre strip, and then a couple of years later we added another 2-acre strip. So now we're up to, we lease 7 acres from them, but we only have about 4 of those acres in production, all on that same, like kind of expanding from that original parcel.
Yeah, I love this. So what would you say something that has been difficult, maybe that you didn't realize would manifest or that would come your way with the farm?
Something that has been difficult?
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe
farming,
like a challenge.
So.
Yeah, every day?
All of it. I mean, it's such a dance in every way that you can imagine. You know, every year we've been in production, we've scaled our business, we've grown. So every year is kind of challenging in a new way that we don't quite expect. We hired our first employee. That felt really good, but it wasn't enough. And then we added this one piece of equipment, and that was just enough to get us through that year. But then we had to add this next piece and learn how to use it. So, you know, scaling every year has definitely been a challenge. I think my husband is mainly the kind of the production side of things, and I'm more the business management and communication side of things. And I can't believe how quickly he's been able to expand his knowledge of production. I mean, that's been hard. This past year was our worst weather season we've ever had. And it was, you know, there's parts of it that are challenging, but it's just a beautiful dance you kind of learn to roll with.
I like that. A beautiful dance. So we are getting low on time here, but I would love to talk real quick about your network of support. You know, none of us do this on our own, right? And so I know you've talked about your husband, but where is your network?
Well, there's a lot. It's a lot of places. We are, like I said, in southern Wisconsin, close to Madison, in a very robust agricultural area, both for conventional and organic agriculture. So the support network of farmers in our region is tremendous. We're part of a CSA coalition where we get to mingle and work with and learn from 50 different CSA farms. That's an extremely rare opportunity. We are part of the Soil Sisters Collaborative, which, you know, that's another 20, 30 women with completely different size and scale of operation and styles of doing business. And we get so much experience from them. And obviously my parents, the fact that they're so willing to support us, like, with physical land and with physical space, but then also they're farmers, so they get it. So when we're broken and sad and frustrated, they know how to talk to us because they know they've been there. They've dealt with this in a different scale, but the same problems, the same hardship. So that's tremendous. You know, we just have farmer friends in the area that are all supportive. And then our members, our CSA members, I write everything that happens on our farm in my weekly newsletters and on my social media. And when they see that, you know, the tomatoes got a disease way earlier than we thought, and we can't even imagine how hard the season's going to be, and we might have to give them more kale and less tomatoes, they don't even care what produce they're getting. Their words are just this outpouring of support. So we, you know, I couldn't do it if I didn't have this much support. It makes it a lot more doable and lovable and enjoyable.
Yeah, well, support matters so much. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us here on Shining Bright by FarmHer.
So glad to be here. Thanks.
Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are growing, creating, and connecting today. As you have heard, we have a couple women, both from W states, I just realized, Wisconsin and Wyoming, and in their own ways, they have created their own brands, they have created their own farms, they have created their own, they have really like created their own life the exact way that they want to do it. And I want to point out, just as with their lives, I mean, they talk about ups and downs, ins and outs, and we all know that, you know, that is not always the easiest path to create your own. It is actually probably the hardest path. I'm sitting here right now, you know, juggling a lot of things with FarmHer that have me going, what are we doing again? Maybe that job back in the insurance industry sounds like a good thing with a paycheck that rolls in steadily every week. But I actually would never give up the flexibility and the ability to chase my own dreams and the ability to shine a light on women all over this country, around the world, and give them something that they can be proud of that defines who they are as well through FarmHer. So enough about me. I want to talk to you about connecting. Connecting, I think, is the key as a FarmHer to growing, creating, connecting, the theme of our show today. But it's true. We are fresh off of a couple of these grow events that we have for young women around the country. And we've got more next week, but we just had this one in DC and I saw it over and over and over again. This light that goes off in these young women's eyes when they hear the stories of women who are doing cool things in this industry today. They sit there and that you can see it. They go, I could do that. Or I want to do that. And I've heard from a couple of them since then who have told me that they may have changed their path or what they want to do because of what they heard there. And I think the ability, we push them so hard to connect with each other there because that is that girl gang, that group, that that ability to reach out and talk to somebody when you're not sure what to do and have them tell you like, hey, I'm your cheerleader, you got this, is so, so, so important. And I think as women, that's just the way we operate. We sometimes need someone to give us a push more than a man might in the exact same situation. That's nature. That's just who we are. And so that connection that we have and that we can make is so, so, so important. And on that note, I want to talk to you about connecting at our upcoming I Am Farm Her event. So for those of you who have not been to I Am Farm Her before, we are in our third year, and this is an event that we created for women of any age to connect through Farm Her as women in this industry. We have professionals, we have people who work in, you know, the insurance industry, the seed industry, chemicals, you name it, anywhere throughout this industry. And we have farmers too. We have people in production, agriculture, anything from women. Last year, we had a woman that I can think of, Ling, who just bought land. She hadn't started her farm. She's just getting her farm up and going this spring. But she was there to connect and learn from those other women and create a network for herself. And I know she did that because I see them still connecting on Facebook. So anywhere, you know, whatever your role is somewhere in this world of agriculture, we've got something for you at this event. And agriculture or not, I mean, obviously that's what connects us all through Farm Her, but this is an event for women to grow and to kind of be able to focus on yourself just a little bit. So I want to tell you a little bit about some of the neat things that Carly and Jen have planned for this upcoming event, which is June 17th through the 19th in Des Moines, Iowa. And we're bringing it back home again this year. And so on that Monday night, June 17th, we're going to open it up with an optional Farm Her meetup. And that's going to be at a really fun location. More to come on that. But we're going to be able to focus on a woman-owned business here in Des Moines who has really built a cool business. And it's going to give us someplace fun to go enjoy. And that's walking distance from the hotel. And so our hotel, I want to tell you, is where the event is going to take place, is the Embassy Suites, and it's right on the riverfront in Des Moines. It's absolutely beautiful. It's one of my favorite places here. It's got an amphitheater out front, and concerts go on there all summer long. It's a super cool place. So we're going to be able to walk pretty much everywhere we go with this event within just a few blocks of that hotel. Super cool. And one of my favorite things about Des Moines. So that night, we're going to have this optional meetup. And it's a way for us to kind of connect and kick the week off, and then dinner on your own. And then the next morning, the conference really kicks off with registration at 7:30. And then we are going to have a lineup of just awesome speakers, you guys. And okay, maybe I queued that up wrong. I'm going to be the first speaker. Awesome speakers. But seriously, I'm going to be there to talk a little bit about my Farm Her journey and to share with you some of the things that I have learned along this journey. This is going to be different for any of you who were there last year. This is going to be some tidbits of knowledge that we have learned, not just me, but that I've learned from other people along this journey that I think are relevant to all of us. All of us as the faces of Farm Her, whether you sit in the cab of the tractor, whether you sit in the combine, whether you're digging in the dirt, whether you're sitting in an office, whatever that is, this applies to all of us. We are all the faces of Farm Her. So I'm going to kick off the morning there. And then we've got a really fun new thing that we're bringing to it called the Farm Her's Market. And it's going to be a hands-on experience to learn and connect and to make something out of the products that some of these women who are going to be in attendance, Farm Hers themselves in the production world, make. So you're going to get to connect and create and have some fun doing it and take home like a lesson and something that you can use going forward. So that's awesome. Then we're going to, as you know, you've heard us talk about, we have a focus on mental health here this year. And I want to highlight as many stories of women who have taken care of their mental health, who are struggling with their mental health. It's no different than physical health, you guys, and it's an important thing to talk about. And so highlighting those stories throughout the year is a very, very important thing to us here at Farm Her. And we've got a breakout session where we're going to be talking not just about mental health, but how you can put yourself first and take care of yourself. Because whether you struggle with it or not, I think it's always important to think about what we can do for ourselves. I know that I personally need to sit and listen in on this session. So yay for that. Then we'll have lunch. And then we're going to be talking in the afternoon about mentorship, because this is something that comes up with us a lot. I do believe that those young women, whether it's in a professional role or a production role, or not even young, you know, women of any age, we need mentors. We need people who we can look up to, who we can talk to, who we can bounce things off of. And sometimes, like, it's an easy thing to talk about, but it's a tough thing to know how to navigate finding one or being one. And we're going to talk about that because I think that we all have a lot to give and we all have a lot to learn as well. And so making sure that we can open up those connections to each other. We're going to be then talking about body language. I think this is super key. We all have something that we're running after in life. Maybe we've got a side hustle. Maybe we're in a professional roles. Maybe we're running our own business as a farm hire, whatever that is. And body language matters in how we present ourselves to others. So we're going to be talking about body language. And then, you guys, we have this gem here in Des Moines. It's called the World Food Prize Building. And those of you who are familiar with the World Food Prize, it was an Iowan who created that, Norman Borlaug. And we have this amazing, amazing facility. We're going to have a reception there. And it's going to be so cool. You will get to see some really cool things and be in just an absolutely beautiful space. So that is going to round out our night there. The next morning, you guys, we're going to be having a running group and a workout option. Again, taking care of yourself matters. I'm going to lead the running group and we're going to head around Des Moines. And so a way to kick that day off. Again, we've got a day full of inspiring speakers. We're going to have talking about being great at one thing and running after that. We're going to have some more networking and then a little bit about STEM in the afternoon. So I just gave you a real in-depth look. I Am Farm Her is the event June 17th through the 19th. And you can get tickets at www.iamfarmher.com. And they are at an early bird price until April 15th. So check it out. Welcome back. We are wrapping it up here on Shining Bright, and I am going to walk you through a cool story that will kind of tell you, I guess, a little bit of my theory in never stop putting yourself out there because neat things happen and you connect with neat people that way. So let's take this back. Gosh, I think it was 2014. I had connected with some women and been invited to an event for women farmers in Florida in January. And being from Iowa, of course, I was going to jump on that opportunity, mostly, you know, to share Farm Her, but to spend 4 days in the sunshine of Clearwater Beach in Florida wasn't something I was going to turn away. And I had the opportunity for them to be able to pay for the travel part of my trip if I could share a room with somebody. So at first I was like, oh, I don't know this person, you know, but then again, get out of Iowa. Go share Farm Her, go to the sunshine. Of course, I was going to do it. So I ended up rooming with a woman named Bryn Bird, and we actually hit it off. We're still friends on social media. I loved hearing her story, and I loved connecting with her, and it was a fun thing. But beyond Bryn, at that conference, I connected with so many women. There was probably only maybe 50 to 75 women there for those 4 days, and they were learning, they were growing, they were connecting with each other, and they were from different states all around the country. And they were just this awesome group of women that I had so much fun with, whether it was ag-related or not. They were just fun people, you know, that run at life and were enjoyable to be around. And I kept good connections with a couple of them after a lot of them actually are still social media friends, but a couple of them I've stayed in closer contact with. And there was one unique group that jumped out at me. And this was this group of women called the Soil Sisters, or they called themselves the Soil Sisters, out of Wisconsin. And I met a handful of them there. That was a little bit earlier on in their Soil Sisters days. But essentially, they're women who had a network of mostly smaller farms, but all different types of farms, all different sizes of farms, all different types of businesses that go with those farms. And they had kind of all connected together, and they started having these, I won't want to firm it up with networking, but events where they'd get together, they'd all bring food, they'd talk, they'd help each other through whatever it is that they're going through, just by sharing and talking and being, and they've created this community, and they called themselves the Soil Sisters. And I just find this super unique because they are thriving there. There is a large, in my mind, group of women run, owned small farm businesses there in that part of the state. And it's just this thing. And so we had the opportunity to go visit there and film for our TV show, Farm Her, on RFD TV. And that was last August. And they have this weekend called the Soil Sisters Weekend. And so we went, and actually my husband and my kids went along with, and I met the rest of the crew up there in Wisconsin. And we went from farm to farm, and you're going to get to experience this on our TV show. It is actually a two-part episode because it's basically a farm tour weekend that they have. They open up their farms, they open up what they do, they invite you in, and you get to experience a little bit of it, maybe through a workshop or some other type of situation that they have at their farm. So that's what we did. And I had so much fun. And you are going to get to go on that journey with me, and maybe someday drive to Wisconsin yourself and go visit these farms and meet these women. That's the best part about it. But so the first episode, we're going to kick it off by me introducing you to Lisa Kiprist. And Lisa really is the heart and soul, in my mind, behind the Soil Sisters. She is just this amazing woman who is amazing at connecting with people. She's an author. She has a farm. She grows things. She's a farm her. She's a connector of people. And she and her husband left Chicago in search of a different life, found themselves in southern Wisconsin, started a farm. Many of these women have farm stays where they invite you to stay on their farm and experience what they do. But we went and had pizza on the farm when we were up there with Lisa, and her husband made the pizza right out there. They had live music. It was super fun, and really fresh ingredients on that pizza too, which made it even more fun. Then we go to Della Enns, and Della has a small farm. She has, they grow all different types of crops, and then they have a farm stay as well. But at Della's, I learned how to make fresh bread, farm fresh bread. And it's pretty fun. Her son actually is a baker, and he came in and taught the workshop. And we baked Jim's buns, Jim's best buns, I think is what it's called. So you got to tune in to hear about Jim's best buns, because they were pretty tasty. And Tony's giving me a look over here, but seriously. And then we meet Lauren Rudersdorf, who you heard on this episode. It is going to be a fun one, everybody. So Farm Her Fridays and Sundays at 9:30 Eastern on RFD TV. You can check out the Soil Sisters this week. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to Shining Bright by Farm Her. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio Channel 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright.
Next week on Shining Bright, we're going to be growing, creating, connecting even more. We're kicking it off with some super girl power with a band, Farewell Angelina. And then we'll talk to a farmer who I've known for years, who has really navigated this journey in life with such grace. And she's has a creative business and farming aspirations. We're going to do it all on Shining Bright by Farm Her. To listen in on any of the episodes, go to farmher.com and click on the listen tab.